I'll be reading from the New International Version, John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Here ends the reading.
I call upon Reverend Richard Tevender to provide us with a sermon. And this will be followed by the Holy Communion.
Well, thank you, Jansen, for the introduction, and thank you, Selena, for reading. It's hard to imagine that it's actually 5.5 years ago since I first preached in FBBC, and it was. I remember I had a conversation with Louise Pollock and with John Reed in January 2016. And I think my first time I preached was probably February 2016. So it's 5 years and 5 months. And wow, how time flies. And I think 5 years and 5 months ago, we wouldn't have thought that some of the things that have happened in the last 5 years have actually happened. But I've actually quite enjoyed getting to meet with you and get to know you. And it's been a real privilege for me to preach in the church. And I thank you for the opportunity I've had. And, you know, I can think about different seminars and different things to do with the church that we've spoken about over the time. And one of the things that I think is really important for me when I engage with this church, and I also do I'm also engaged with our home church, Pennant Hills Baptist Church, and then with other churches. So I've done seminars and special pastoral care work. And the theme of love is a very, very important thing. And I think it's based on some of the teachings in the gospel, and certainly Paul's teaching in his writings. And the passage was read comes at a very significant time. It comes from the Last Supper setting, where Jesus is with his disciples for the last time, and he really wants them to actually know that that he is, you know, he is divine, that he is going to come back again, but he also tells them how to live as Christians in this world. And this passage here is actually for. A bit sort of follows on from the sermon I did last time about mission in a multicultural society. This passage here is actually a real guide for us to know how to live as Christians in the world, in our own churches, but also in the wider community. And Jesus gathers the disciples around, and he says these outstanding verses. Which you read, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. And he could have said, there's lots of things you can do to show that you are believers. You can wear big crosses. You can have lovely, shiny buildings. You can go and preach on corners. But instead, he gave this instruction about how people will know that they are actually his followers. And one of the features of my ministry is I deliberately don't wear crosses or big labels that say I'm a chaplain. The only time I ever wear a badge that says I'm a chaplain is in the disaster setting, when I wear a big bright vest that says I'm a disaster recovery chaplain. But all the other times in my ministry, I deliberately don't wear crosses or big badges, because I truly believe if someone can't work out that you're a follower of Christ by what you say and how you live, then there's something missing about how you're living your life as a Christian. And I don't say that to sort of put guilt on anybody, but I know for me, I've found it a very, very helpful practice not to wear those things, because it means that I have to make sure that the way I live and the way I behave actually lives out Christ's teaching. And I just want to read those whole verses again in John chapter 13, because it's a really, really touching time. And you've got to realize the disciples are quite emotional, and they are really, really wondering what's going to happen in John chapter 14, there's this conversation where Jesus talks to his disciples and they ask him, where are you going? What are you going to do? And he gives that famous response that he was going to prepare a mansion and that that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And he really wanted his disciples to know some important things. And it's interesting, he says it's a new command. It's not a completely new command, but it's a new version of the command. Because God's people in the Old Testament were told to really commit themselves to being God's people, to commit themselves to loving God and to loving their neighbour. Because the quotes about loving God and loving your neighbour come from the Old Testament writings of Moses. But he says this specifically thing, that a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Now, these disciples were very well aware that Jesus did show a special kind of love for them. They knew that he had helped them, that he had provided for them. He'd given them very special instruction. He'd given them 3 years of time, and he showed by those things that he loved them. And I think they're examples of how we can love one another in the Christian setting. We can love one another by giving our time, by giving our interest, and by being a good example to each other. But the outstanding thing is, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And often it's in times of crisis when people see God's people loving each other and loving others, that is it's a very, very powerful witness. And particularly in this time when people, you know, we're in lockdown again, and whenever there's a lockdown or a threat, people can tend to be a bit self-protective and being selfish. You know, once again, there was a rush on meat and toilet paper in some of the supermarkets, which is just a sign of people's anxiety to kind of provide for themselves and not care about others. But he said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I think if we want to be Christians in the world, and even for FBBC and looking to the future, really having that as a theme of really seeking with ourselves. I know you do love each other very much, but really asking God to really teach us all more about how we can love one another in a way that it is a powerful witness to others. It's very, very important. And because loving one another is a mark of the church, it's a mark of followers Jesus. And in talking about love, I want to refer to a devotion that I sent out. I'm just going to read it. It actually came. Yeah, it came with your bulletin. And it says, love is outstanding. I want to read this devotion that I wrote for some people at work. In my role with Hammond Care, one of the managers, who was actually a Hindu, she's asked me to write a Christian devotion for the staff every week. And it's amazing how God works. And she did that not because I wore a badge, but she'd known that I'd had specific, provided specific support for some staff and some clients. And she wanted me to contribute as a Christian person because of the way that I'd lived in Hammond Care. And this is a devotion that I wrote last week. Love is outstanding. Now, the English word for love can be used in a wide range of contexts regarding how people relate to other people and to objects. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But the expressions of love are more specifically defined in other languages. And there's quite a few languages that actually have multiple words for the one word that is used in English, which is love, L-O-V-E. And in ancient Greek, and also the Koine Greek, which the New Testament writers used, also had the same words for love. You have eros, which is that romantic, passionate love, the sort of love that you might see displayed on some television shows or some movies. And then you have philia. You know, we have philosophy and The word "fill," the "fill" in that part of the word actually relates to a type of love or affection. The word "Philip" means lover of horses, and that's actually my middle name. But philia is an affectionate love. It's different to romantic love, but where there's a real sense of affection and care for someone. Agape is a selfless love. It's a universal love. It's a love which is very, very selfless. And I'm going to talk about that in more detail, because when St. Paul talked about love in 1 Corinthians, he spoke about that type of love, the agape love. And then you have sturge, which is a familiar love, the type of love we have in families, where brothers and sisters and others have a sense of love and respect because you're part of the same family. Now, mania. Often when we use the word mania, we're talking about an illness or someone who is really, really obsessive. But a mania is an obsessive love where people love one thing so much that they have to really, really be involved in it and have it for themselves. And then there's ludus, which is playful love, a sense of the type of love that you might see little children have for each other in the playground. And pragma is enduring love. Now, our word pragmatic comes from a similar root, but it's an enduring love is a practical love. And often when people in my work, I see a lot of people who become carers of a relative, and they actually endure a mixture of quite a few of these types of love, but they'll often find that they actually have to draw on a type of love that says, look, I love this person, and I will serve them and I will help them, I will care for them, because I believe it's important to do it for the long term, for the long run. And it can be quite draining, but pragma is this enduring love. And there's philosia, which is self-love. Now, it's okay to love yourself, as long as it's in proportion to other aspects of love and care. And because it's interesting, when Jesus says, love one another as I has loved you, and then in the other command, it says about having a love for having a real love for ourselves is actually a healthy thing. Now, we can see that parents love their children, and we know that that's more that kind of philosia love. And it can also be a mixture of the storge love. Partners love each other, and that can be a combination of those. Marriage vows contain the phrase love and cherish. And in most of the traditional marriage vows, the phrase love and cherish is in the vows, or it's in the introduction to the vows. Musical artists like Taylor Swift sing songs like Love Story, and when they describe a romantic love. Now, often people will say that they love an object or an activity or a place. Sometimes where people go into a shop and say, gee, I love that dress. I love that item. Some people who like their automobiles say, I love this car. And they're talking about the way it looks. They're talking about the way it feels to drive. They're talking about how it feels when they sit in it. They say, I love this car. Other people love places. They might say, I love Central Australia, or I love Bali, or I love China, or I love Japan, or I love going to those places. And other people will say, I love running, or I love jumping, or I love eating. And there's different types of ways that people can use the word love. Now, in this current season of travel restrictions and lockdowns, many people are actually missing the people and the places and the things that are important to our sense of identity and our sense of meaning. And in my role with Hammond Care, we focus on aspects of spirituality. And there's some questions that we often go through. And they are questions like, who am I? Where am I going? And where am I now? And why? And often the aspect of love relates to those things. Who am I? We often find our context by realizing who we love or what we love and those who love us. And so the concept of love is very, very important. And many people are feeling quite challenged, even with this lockdown, because people are separated from the people and the things that help with their sense of identity, and particularly people they love. Yesterday, I was on a video call with my daughter and the grandchildren, and during the conversation, the granddaughter asked if she could come over and see us, and we just had to say no, we can't do that at the moment because we just said we were busy, because you know, for a 2.5-year-old, it's a bit hard to explain about COVID precautions and all that sort of thing. But often people, when they know others are there, they want to get closer to them just so they can be with them. And we're feeling that now. And that's a sign that love is important to us and relationships are important to us. Now, one thing that really inspires me to live well and to have a sense of courage, a sense of purpose, is when I read certain quotes and sayings. And one of them is the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. And he talks about this type of agape love, which is a selfless love, a love that is really bigger than just meeting our feelings and our needs. It's about realizing that people are important, that God is important, and that it is important to love selflessly, to give without expecting to receive. And Paul's understanding of this love was inspired by his relationship with Christ. And I'm sure it goes back to the time when he had that encounter on the road to Damascus, when Jesus, the one he was persecuting, appeared to him in a vision. And Paul might have thought, oh, gee, I'm going to be slain now. My life is over. But Jesus actually said, why are you persecuting me? And then he provided very graciously people and a way forward so that Paul could find redemption, he could find out about the Christian faith, and he himself could become a follower of Christ. And that's an example of love, that the sharing of the gospel to people who are hurting Christians and who are against the church is a very profound way of showing this example of love, by loving those who are not loving Christ. And also, if we love each other, you know, sometimes we can bother each other by the way we behave. If we, with God's help, if we learn to forgive, if we learn to graciously work with others and find a way forward in our difficulties, then that's an example of love as well. And I just want to expound what Paul said. He said love is patient. And patience is very, very important. Often we want things today. Many people want lots of things to happen very quickly. But love is patient. And love is kind. Love cares about the needs of others and is very, very willing to help. Kindness can be shown by just an example could be if you know an older person who is unable to go to the shops because they haven't got transport or they're not sort of comfortable with getting the bus to the shops at the moment, then finding out if you can help them get some groceries by going to Woolworths or going to some other place to get groceries and fruit, etc. Love does not envy. If we have a sense of God's love, of God loving us, then that can minimize our jealousy of others. Because if God loves us, and we know that God, who is a creator of the whole world, loves us, then that's a wonderful thing to know. And it can also help us to reduce a sense of jealousy or coveting what other people have. Because if we are loved by God, and we know that very much, then that can give us courage and give us a different perspective. And so that it's not a problem to us if people have more things than us or more opportunities, but we can have a real sense of appreciation that everybody is created by God. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And so to love each other in the church context means that we really work hard not to put other people down or to say things about others that are derogatory or demeaning, whether when the people are with us or whether they're not there. It's very, very important not to do that. And that aligns with some of the commandments too, like not speaking false things about other people. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And in the church setting, we really need to think about how we can really protect other people. And it doesn't mean that we become like security guards around other people's lives, but what it can mean is that we just think, okay, how can I do something or provide something for someone that helps them keep safe? A very simple example, I know quite a few of you were talking about vaccinations. And again, if there is someone in the church who's unable to drive to a vaccination hub or to a vaccination clinic, what you could do, you could just offer to drive them when they have an appointment. And you might even offer to help them arrange their appointment for a medical thing and take them. And even that is just providing a physical protection. But love also protects people emotionally. And so we should be very careful about how we show respect and care for other people and not put people down on, not just say throwaway comments that are quite demeaning, because they can be quite hurtful at times. And try and avoid teasing. Teasing others is not helpful as well. When I worked in high schools, we had a person come talk about behavioural management. And in that, they said that it usually takes about 9 positive comments to undo 1 negative comment that a child receives if they're bullied. So if a child is bullied and something is said to them that is quite nasty, it takes 9 positive comments to just even it out, the effect of that emotionally. And so we need to be very careful about how we speak to others and have a real sense of joy and grace to other people. And I hope that we can all really follow Christ's example of loving. And we know the greatest example that Christ gave is that he came from heaven as the Son of God. He was born as a little child. He lived. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He took a lot of risks. There were many times when he spoke up about repentance. He spoke up about the kingdom of God. He spoke up about the nature of God. And he did that at great risk to himself. And why did he do that? So that we could know the gospel. So that we could know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he went forward from that point, and then he suffered on the cross, and a very, very profound suffering, physically, emotionally, and spiritually for him. He died, and then he rose again, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to be with believers after that. And they're examples that God loves us. And so when we read this passage where Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you," we have all those things in mind to realize that we can love each other when we rely on Christ's strength and follow his example, because that is how people will see that we are true followers of Christ. And that's the end of the message that I have there. And I think in a minute we're going to go across to communion. Are we having a song?